now at your service. Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Thank you, Scott, and good gardening to you and your plants as well. Whether outside or inside those plants, those poor plants that are inside, they're not shivering, but those ones outside are, especially with this wind. Looks like it's out of the, I'm looking at the flag at the Soldiers Memorial, coming out of the, what would that be, the northwest? No, I don't know what it is. So I'll let you decide, looking at outside your windows, where the wind is coming from. But it is really nasty out there. And if you have any success stories to share, questions, concerns, or comments, confusion, want recommendations or actions to be taken, simply call 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. And let me share what I saw this morning, my good gardening stroll. And that good gardening stroll is brought to you by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. Well, I went out the back door of my house, headed towards my car. I park outdoors, and I took my key and stuck it in the place in the car to open the door. Frozen! I couldn't get it open. Okay, so no big deal. I'll go in and get some WD-40 and squirt it in there. I squirted in the WD-40. Oh, no, it didn't work. So then part of my stroll was going back inside and using some stuff that was supposed to be de-icer car door lock stuff. Nope, didn't work. Tracy, my wife, was helping me out here. So my stroll was really back and forth to my car. Finally, I figured out the best thing to do is use hot water in a glass or in a bottle. I dipped my key into the hot water and then stuck it into the door, and it opened finally. So my good gardening stroll, unfortunately, was wasting time going back and forth and back and forth so I could get my car open so I could get here to KMOX. First, I thought I'm going to have to compost this day as far as the show, but no big deal. Anyway, so that was my good gardening stroll today. A little different than usual, but it's a little cold out there. I mean, and classically, as you know, I always wear shorts, so had shorts on, but it didn't really matter that much. It was just the frustration of my car door. Anyway. We can discuss what's impacting your outdoor plants, the woodies, the trees, the shrubs, or some of those evergreen herbaceous perennials, annual plants. Wouldn't have any out there yet. If you bought some pansies and planted them, they're goners. How about your lawn, your ground cover? Growing medium, what type? Whether it be planting, soils or anything else. Good or bad, what impact is your pets, your dogs, running along the fence? Transplanting, taking cuttings beyond. Have a look around in the indoors, too. If you have any questions about those plants, I'll share my knowledge to help you make a good decision on whatever action is needed or to be considered. And remember, this is your show, and I enjoy hearing about your plants. Drew is here. He's today's producer, a very important player on the team. And I'm Mike Miller. I've been hosting the Garden Hotline since 1994. If you'd like for me to come to your home, to your plant world, for a walk and talk consultation, you can go to my website, www.mikemillerdesigns.com. On the homepage is my email address and phone number. You can contact me, and we'll set up a time, date, and then we'll come out to your house. So again, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. We'll be back after these messages.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Yes, folks, phone lines open, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. When you call in, Drew will answer the phone, and he just needs your first name, and then he'll get it up on the caller screen, and I will talk to you about whatever's going on. I am grateful for the rain that we had this past week, and the plants outside are really grateful for it, too, because that moisture helped fill air pockets around your feeder roots, and without those, with those air pockets gone, there's going to be less potential damage to the plant material. So that was really crucial that we had the rain before this extreme cold. And I think it's going to get even colder, which seems unbelievable. Like if you were listening to the Good Gardening Stroll, where I almost froze in action. So, I have to keep fighting the cold. And I don't know if you've been outside yet, but even when you hear those numbers, until you're out there with that breeze, you don't really know how cold it really feels. It is really absolutely brutal. So again, probably now the ground is frozen because of the moisture and the temperatures, of course. So you're not going to be able to take a soil sample to get that soil tested. You know, every week I talk about getting soil tested so you can find out everything about the plant material in relationship to your soils, because the soil is really what's important. Your soil feeds your plants, and that is crucial. What the soil test is going to tell you is how much phosphorus, potassium, calcium, magnesium, the level of organic matter, the soil pH, and other things as well. So it's, the cost is not extremely important. The office used to be in Kirkwood. Now it's in Overland. So just go to the University of Missouri Extension Service, and they will give you the exact address in Overland. So what is topsoil, by the way? The quality. The American Society of Landscape Architects has specifications for topsoil, commonly used in contracts with landscape projects. Well, that's very confusing. But one of the things that's probably important, besides the nutrients, the phosphorus and potassium, if you've been using the same fertilizer for an extended period of time, several years, your soil may have too much phosphorus and potassium in it. And when that does happen, then it does actually, you would think it would still continue to help your plant material, but it doesn't. What it does is actually cause the root system to have some inability to work as well. And the soil pH is extremely important also, because the alkalinity, we get many calls where people have plant material, particularly broadleaf evergreens or evergreens, conifers, growing close to the house, and they're starting to lose the color. And that's related to the pH. And the reason why the pH is too high, which is alkaline, is because of the concrete. So along your sidewalks and your driveways, if you have concrete, and especially the foundations, it contaminates the soil from that perspective. So that's an extremely important aspect of getting a soil test so you can find out what's going on. Because you can then get some, go to your favorite garden center, and get something that will help compensate for that alkalinity and turn it to, you know, more of a more acidic as opposed to alkalinity. And it's measured with an electrode to obtain an accurate value. And the ideal pH for most plant material is 5.5 to 7.5. And other things, you know, like lilacs, clematis vine, and things along that line, they want a little bit more alkaline. Same with lilacs, where azaleas, rhododendrons, blueberries, raspberries prefer a relatively low 5.5 pH. So that's really very important. Other things that the soil test will talk about is sort of the texture. So in other words, what the composition of the soil that you have, and that's you want a nice texture, which is going to be measured, and that allows water to penetrate. Because if you have a high clay content, then the water won't be able to penetrate into the ground as well. And so that's very important. Soil organic matter is essential in the formation of soil structure. It reduces compaction and helps plants as far as retention of nutrients to be able to get into the ground where the feeder roots are. And regardless of what kind of plant it is, the feeder roots are going to be in the top, let's say, top 7-9 inches of soil. That's going to be the most. Anything deeper than that, that roots go, are strictly to keep plant material from falling apart. And speaking of trees and things like that, with some of these winds we've had recently, I take a walk every day through the neighborhood, and I've seen 3 or 4 different trees, street trees, that have been blown over just in the last couple days. And it's we have steel casement windows in our house, and one of the window, the direction of the wind is usually out of the southwest, and we can hear it kind of howling through the wind. So I guess we should get better windows, but we haven't gotten around to doing that yet. It's very easy to have a list of things to do, whether it's out in your outdoors with your plant material or the structural quality of your home. So keep that in mind. If you go out into your yard and you notice there's some plants that are really pretty green still, well, what those plants are, those are the cool season annual weeds. And they germinated last August. They love the cold weather. They could care less. Things like henbit, dead nettle, common chickweed, annual bluegrass, and several others. And I minimize the amount of herbicides I put into my landscape because I want to see what kind of weeds are, you know, coming in, how they're getting in, and everything else. So I've got some chickweed, and I don't want to blame anybody, but it looks like it's coming over from my neighbor's yard. That's probably the worst of what I have. I used to have a lot of henbit and dead nettle, which have square stems. So if you see something that's green in your lawn area or your bed spaces, and that will mean it's probably henbit or dead nettle, and that's a member of the Lamium family. And so what I did with that, I had a lot of it when we first moved in, and I just hand dug it and finally got rid of it. And now I let some of it come back because I just kind of want to watch it and see, you know, how fast it spreads and everything else. So, and that, again, to control those particular weeds, you would be putting your pre-emergent down in mid to late August. And what a pre-emergent does is kill weed seeds as they germinate. So that's really important. And weed seeds, pre-emergent information, it's a just what it is a chemical that only kills things that are coming from seed. So it won't impact things like dandelions that have been there for a long time because that's a perennial weed. But perennial weeds like dandelions, it does produce seeds, and it will kill dandelion seedlings as they germinate, but it won't really do anything to, let's say, dandelions that have been there for a while. So just keep that in mind. Things that you need to be watching out while it's this cold, really, there's not too much you can do. You can't get out there, and like I said, we have plenty of water to it, so no reason to be pulling the hose out. But what you can be doing this time of year is equipment maintenance, like sharpening your mower blades, because unsharpened mower blades can sort of, what it will do is as you go over your lawn, it'll kind of fray the tips, and that frayness can cause disease, insect, and health problems just in general. So you can take it to garden centers, or there's, you know, particular places that do lawnmower maintenance, and you could either take the blade off yourself or you could take the mower to, no, you probably should just take the blade off and then let them do the sharpening. I have a hand sharpener, and I just do it myself. And it's kind of like a sort of a file type thing. And it just, you know, makes the blade smoother. That's what it does. And your lawn is your most expensive part of your landscape, so you want to minimize the troubles. And we have a tough time here anyway because we're in that transition zone where the cool season lawns and the warm season lawns butt heads, one coming from the south, the other one coming from the north. And it makes it a little tough just for lawns just in general. And that's, like I said, the most expensive, you know, part of your landscape is going to be that, just because the equipment, mowers, and then a fertilizer, and besides the soil tests, which are, you know, needed anyway. So basically, we do have phone lines open. I know you're probably thinking, who cares about plants when it's this cold? But if you'd like to talk about something, just give a call, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120.
To be under the sea in an octopus's garden in the shade.
To the phones we go, but we do still have some phone lines open, 314 or 36-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. When it's this cold, I think, you know, mental attitude in general. So today, I normally wear a KMOX shirt, but today I have my Key West shirt on. Key West was, it's a sweatshirt actually. And, you know, I mean, I bought it when I was in Key West a couple of years ago. And why Key West would have a sweatshirt, I don't know. But I thought, it's kind of rare. So when I can, you know, when it's cold like this, I got my Key West shirt on. Let's head over to Dale's yard and see what's going on. Hi, Dale.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Very good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm just curious with this excessive cold coming in the next couple of days. With us having been mild in December, my daffodils are up a good inch and a half sprouted. Will I have to do anything to protect those, or are they going to be all right?
They should be okay as far as flowering goes. Now, those tips may get injured by this cold. If it wasn't quite this bad, it shouldn't have do any damage. But when it's getting like this, so what you'll have is just brown tips on the end of the leaves, and the flowers are not emerging, so that shouldn't impact your flowers whatsoever.
Perfect. I appreciate it.
Sure. My pleasure. And now let's head over to Fred's yard. Hi, Fred.
Hey, Mike. I might have missed it, but now that it's so cold, you were talking about soil testing. When do I need to wait until what time to soil test my lawn?
Until you can get out there and actually, you know, just relatively easily push your shovel into the ground so you can get to the proper depth and then get your soil. Because you could go out there and see, maybe you can. Maybe the soil's not, you know, frozen yet. But you just don't want to do the frozen soils.
Gotcha. So just wait till I can dig it up.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you, Mike.
Yep. And then again, for perennials, you want to go to a certain depth in your lawn, you're going to go a little bit less because the root system on the lawn is not quite as deep as, you know, some of the perennials or woodies or things like that. And let's see, 436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. That's our phone number, and we do have the phone lines open. Again, the rainfall was extremely important. I'm just glad we got it. It was, it was kind of like, ooh, wow, this is going on and on and on. I'd get up and take a look, and I'd think, gosh, how can it still be raining like this? And you never know. And if it was raining now, it would have been a lot more snow. They kept, you know, early in the week, they were saying up to 3 inches, and then it was down to 2 inches, and then one, and now it's just, there is no inches of snow anyplace. So snow can help, you know, as far as things that are growing, you know, close to the ground, because it can actually act as a, let's say, a blanket, and that will help, again, the wind chills and factors like that. And then when the snow melts, it's moisture, and that's, you know, a very important part. Maybe you should start thinking about this time of year creating a monarch butterfly garden. And I've got some butterfly weed in the strip of lawn, or strip, not strip of lawn, landscape strip between my garage and my the alley. And it's only about, it's, you know, maybe 15 feet long and about 4 or 5 feet wide. I've got all kinds of sunflowers, and then I've got butterfly weed in there too. And they take care of themselves. And this, you know, this variety of Coreopsis that I have is an evergreen type. So even when it's this cold, those, the foliage doesn't get knocked down. It's really kind of amazing how tough some plants are and other ones aren't. So, the butterfly is really kind of a, well, the monarch butterfly in particular. They don't fly on cloudy days or during rainy days, and they can live up to 5 years, and they do migrate huge distances, you know, up to 2,000 miles each year, which seems just kind of amazing. And a monarch butterfly, how much do you think an adult weighs? 0.5 gram. Whoa. And the wing shingle, you know, like, is pigmented with reds, oranges, grays, whites, blues, and a shiny metallic look is due to a prism-like membrane on the actually wings. And the wings will bend and reflect light. And butterfly caterpillars have mouth-sensitive hairs for, you know, testing, you know, all kinds of other things. And the butterfly adults, they sip nectar like a drinking straw with their tongue. And their knob-like antennae extensions are used to smell, taste, orientation, and for protection. So it's great to have the hummingbirds. And also, why not have some butterflies as well? You don't need to get a huge patch. You can just mix in a few in a pretty old bed space, and just kind of let them go. So that's, you know, what's really important. The gentleman that called about his daffodil, the foliage emerging, yeah, that warm weather that we kept having, you know, caused some of the growth to come up. Basically, you know, the daffodils seem to emerge sooner than the tulips, and the tulips are actually a little bit more tender. So they're a little bit more, let's say, scared to do anything. If you have conifers, in other words, let's say there's broadleaf weeds, not broadleaf weeds, broadleaf evergreens, and then there's conifers, and they're the ones that have the needles. And if we do finally get some snow that starts piling up on your conifers or on any plant material like azaleas or hollies or things like that, don't go out with any kind of broom, with any kind of anything, and knock that off the plant material, because you're going to do more damage by knocking snow slash, you know, let's say ice, if it, you know, if that is a circumstance, off the plant material than actually the weight of the ice or snow. So just keep that in mind. For years, people kept going out with brooms and knocking it off, thinking they're going to help their plant material not have any damage due to the weight of the snow on the twigs or the branches. And that's where, you know, we're kind of getting wrong about that. So just leave it alone, you know, and hope it won't do any kind of major damage. But hitting, you know, plant material with a broom can cause, like I said, more damage than the actual weight of the snow or ice. Let's head over to Scott's yard. Hi, Scott.
Good morning, Mike. A couple quick questions. What were you just saying was the perennial that to attract butterflies that flower all the time?
It's a type of Coreopsis.
Okay.
Coreopsis.
That's
and there's
okay.
There's several different varieties. So when you go to get it, just check online and see which one is going to be the best for the butterflies.
Does that come from seed or is it a plant? Or
no, you buy it as a perennial. You can grow them from seed, and they will self-seed. That's the interesting thing. But to grow them from seed yourself, is I don't know. It's a lot of work, let's put it that
way. Okay. Okay, and I don't need that then. Other quick question. I'm looking to, along my sidewalk, put something that's a perennial low grass to just give me, it's hard to trim up next to that walk and all that, just something to give me a barrier there, a little border along my sidewalk. Gets pretty much full sun.
Okay, I would probably look at maybe the variegated liriope, L-I-R-I-O-P-E, and the variegated one is going to have a yellow stripe on it. It's going to get about, it's going to be a clump grower, so it doesn't spread. So you want to get liriope muscari as opposed to spicata. The spicata will spread, but the muscari is a clump grower, so each clump will just stay pretty much right where it is. And I'm surprised. I've got some, you know, that I'm growing in pots, and it hasn't had any kind of winter damage to it at all yet. I haven't looked this morning, but it's really pretty tough and durable. Now, even if it does get some winter damage to it, you can just set your mower high and just mow it off and just kind of leave, you know,
okay,
3 or 4 inches.
So it doesn't get very tall then either, right?
Probably maximum height of the flower may be 6 or 8, maybe 9 or 10 okay. inches.
Okay.
And the actual blades are going to get more like, let's say, 4 to 6 or 7.
Okay, how far apart should those be planted?
Well, it all depends on the look you want. If you want it to be a solid line with no space in between, I'd probably put let's say 15 to 18 inches in between each plant.
Okay. Okay. And you get those at any lawn garden place? Or?
Right. And I would go to year-round garden center versus a big box type thing.
Okay.
The year-round places seem to take care of the plant material a little bit better.
Okay. All right, great. Thank you so much for your information. Have
sure.
a good day.
Yeah, thank you. And again, phone lines 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back after these messages.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Well, folks, we do have some phone lines open, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Let's head over to Dennis's yard and see what's going on. Hi, Dennis.
Yeah, good morning.
Hi, good morning to you.
Yes, I have a question. I get some prairie grasses along my driveway. And for the last 2 or 3 years, I've had these creeping Charlie weeds that start growing up in between them. Is there a way I can get rid of those creeping Charlie vines there?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah,
you can use a broadleaf weed killer if you'd like, or you can try a pre-emergent as well. But the pre-emergent you're going to have to put down in August because it's
okay.
a cool season weed, but a broadleaf weed killer will kill it without doing any kind of damage to anything with, like, grass-like blades.
All right.
So.
All right, that sounds good.
Yeah. So you got two ways to go after it until you get, you know, can get it under control.
All right. Yeah, I've been about to go, like, pull those viney weeds out of my grasses there and everything. Like, it's a pain that I pull them out there because these prairie grasses, they grow, like, about almost 5 feet tall. But it's like, pulling those weeds out, that's something else.
Yeah. So, yeah, probably, the best way to go about it is just as soon as you start to see them green up, get a broadleaf weed killer and just spray it directly onto the foliage.
Okay, that sounds fine then.
All right, good luck.
All right, thank you. Have a good day.
Sure. Again, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. We understand that it's going to get super cold tonight, so below, you know, freezing. So if you got anything to do today, I'd get it done early. When it's only 7, I mean, it's really warm, 17 degrees. I mean, that's just totally crazy. But it shouldn't do any kind of damage, again, to the plant material, not even some of the tender buds like the early blooming magnolias. that they should be able to handle this cold. But who knows how much more? I mean, four below, that could be a little bit damaging to some of the tender buds on the plant material. So just kind of keep that in mind. There's not really too much you can do. Tracy, my wife, was talking to me, and she said, well, what do these garden centers do when they've got all these plants that they've, let's say, bought for fall sales and things like that, and they're outside? I just told her, I said, there's not really too much they can do. They can just make sure that if they're in containers, that there's mulch around them. If they're bald and burlap, there's mulch around them. And they haven't had a, you know, a circumstance where they got really dry as a result of that. When I moved back here, I came back to St. Louis to work at the Botanical Garden. And for the first 4 years, I worked in the English Woodland Garden. And then my fifth year there, I worked in a climatron. So the climatron was perfect when the weather's like this, because you're standing there in the tropics and you can look out, and just once you got close to the walls, which are glass, it was, you could really feel the cold. And speaking of cold, walking around here at Odyssey, there was a couple of really cold spots. I don't understand exactly why. But that was a nice thing. And when I left the Botanical Garden, I went into Garden Center Management, Old Orchard Gardens, which was on 141. They originally started in Webster Groves, but they moved to 141 and Manchester Road, basically. And I did Garden Center Management. I was general manager for, you know, 4 or 5 years from there. So, and then from there, I went and helped start a predatory insect store called the Bug Store. And the Bug Store, I stayed there for a while. And then when I left there, I just started my own landscape design consulting business. I no longer do formal designs, but I do consultations. And so that's, you know, kind of been my whole, you know, sort of a picture of my career in the outdoors. And I was basically grew up in Ellisville, and that's where my love of the outdoors just, you know, being, we moved out there from the city. We live right by the Botanical Garden, exactly on, or, you know, on Flat Avenue. My parents were both from rural Missouri, different parts, north and south. And they just wanted to be someplace a little bit more rural. So when we moved out to Ellisville, there was only 211 people in the city. And then I got to just have some great fun through the woods and everything. Got poison ivy every year, guaranteed, no matter what. Even though I knew what it looked like, it was just, you know, difficult to walk through the woods or walk here or there and not get it. So those are the kind of things that just made life great fun and just made me really fall for the whole world of plant materials and birds as well. My parents fed the birds, and we had all kinds of bird feeders, and I became an expert as far as cleaning gutters, because we were on Maple Lane and we had maple trees that drop leaves down into the gutters on a routine basis. And then, it was nothing fancy, just had to get up there on the roof and just kind of dig it out with my hands. So that was something that was, you know, fun as well. So if you do have any questions or concerns, we only got a couple minutes left in this hour, and then we'll have all kinds of stuff next hour, you know, a full hour. And so just kind of keep that in mind. Other things that you need to be thinking about when it's this cold, not too much you can be doing in the outdoors. So, I mean, don't do any pruning or don't do anything. It really won't hurt the plant material, but what will happen is you'll get too cold. And, you know, the plants are really important, but kind of keep in mind the fact that you just have to be careful yourself, because, you know, I mean, frost damage, you're not going to get frost damage, but that's something that you just don't want to be out too much when it is this cold. And other things, you know, I talked about the equipment, you know, taking care of that. And the butterflies, rainfall, thanking, you know, nature for sending us some rain before this, you know, this cold snap. I'm just, again, glad that the snow didn't come, because it was, there's a couple big puddles, even right around here downtown, which are just like an ice rink. And we've got a couple spots around our home, too. Not our actual home, but just down the street that are big puddles. And it's like I was never an ice skater. I was never, I guess I don't have strong ankles or something, so I wasn't able to do that. But if you do have any questions, just take a look out the window and just give us a, you know, give us a call. And, you know, when we come back from the news, we'll be talking to you. So you can be first in line. We got a call right now. We're just waiting for him to get up and get his name on the computer screen. And we'll wait for a second. Let's see. Is that Kata? Oh, Kate, sorry. Hi, Kate. You're gonna have to do it pretty quick.
Okay. We have a. I would like your email first.
Oh.
Because I would like to send you a picture of a plant that we have not a clue what it is.
Okay. I don't think I can get it. I'll give it to you after we come back.
Okay, that would be fine. Should I just stay on the line?
Yeah, if you want to, sure.
Okay.
Or you can just listen, but you can stay on the line.
Okay, it's a tropical plant. It's probably 20 years old. Okay. We think it's tropical, but I would like for you to see a picture of it because nobody knows what it is.
Okay, we got to run, so see you after the news.
Now, at your service. Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Thank you, Scott. And Scott is a native of Buffalo, New York, so these kind of temperatures and all this other stuff, he says, who cares? Ha, ha, ha. And I guess they had like a foot of snow recently. So that's, wow. And this is the KMOX Garden Hotline. The second hour opens with the tip of the trowel, which is a special on-air recognition for individual group or situation that's made an impression on me. And I just like to share that with you. And it's brought to you by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. Tip of the trowel goes out to all the people that are in this tree service business. City of St. Louis, the trees, all the these winds have just knocked, like I said, several trees down, and it's just kind of amazing. So they get out and get stuff pretty cleaned up pretty quickly. So that's all the individual companies as well as the city trees, you know. Tree department? Yes, the tree department. So tip of the trowel goes out to them. And thanks for inviting me onto your show where we can discuss topics like the best plants for a specific location in your yard, how to plant that plant, and the aftercare. And adding pizzazz to views from inside your home, whether you're sitting on your deck, your patio, or walking around in the yard, caring for your existing plants or selecting new varieties. And making sure that you're putting them in a location as they mature, they don't overgrow and cause problems from an aesthetic standpoint or any other thing. Proper mulching, weeds, lawn care, growing plants in the ground or in pots, when to prune, fertilizing, whether it's annuals, edibles, herbs, vegetables, fruit trees, warm and cold season bulbs, and all kinds of other plant materials. So just kind of keep that in mind. But please remember, my thoughts, answers, comments, and opinions are not the only garden path to take to achieve success, just strictly offered for you to consider. I'm Mike Miller. I've been hosting the Garden Hotline since 1994. So in another couple of weeks, it'll be 30 years, which seems unbelievable. And prior to that, I was in the Air Force. Got discharged in 1973, and then I stayed out. I was at March Air Force Base in Riverside. I stayed in Southern California and studied horticulture at the University of California in Santa Barbara. Came back to St. Louis Botanical Garden and then taught classes at the Botanical Garden as well. Co-founded the Bug Store and blah, 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 blah. I taught horticulture at Merrimack Community College as well. I've written five gardening books, and articles and magazines for local newspapers. Currently, I have Mike Miller Designs, and that is my workplace. If you'd like for me to come to your home for a plant consultation, a walk and talk, you can check my website, MikeMillerDesigns.com. On the homepage, you can get my email address and phone number. You can contact me, and we'll set a date and time for me to visit your plant world. And now, if you've got any ideas, questions, concerns, or comments related to your plant world, you can strictly call 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120, and we can talk about it. And today, we had a situation where a baton was passed from Drew to John, Tom. No, John. Is that correct, John? Yeah. So, not right now. So when you call, John will answer the phone. He just needs your first name, and then he, well, at the same time, he's pushing buttons and answering the phone call. So we appreciate it. And now let's go back to Kate. Hi, Kate.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We've enjoyed your show for a long time.
Yeah, I've gotten gray since I've been doing it.
Well, haven't we all?
Yes.
So, I did send an email to KMOX. We have this plant that looks like we don't know how to explain it. It has rather long stems that look almost like a bamboo stem. It has on the ends. It has almost like needle. They're not needles, but they're long. I guess you would call them. What would you call them, Donna? I don't know what to call them. They're like leaves, but they are not long. They're not like leaves. They're more like points.
Well, I don't have access to that. What you can do is just go to my website, and there's my email address, and just send me a picture.
Okay, I thought I did. What is your email address?
Okay, I won't give my email, but I'll give you my website, and then that's where you can get my email address.
Oh, okay.
So it's www.MikeMillerDesigns.com. And then on the homepage, there will be my phone number and my email, and you can just send me a picture of it.
Okay, what was the first Mike Miller Design? What was the first?
.com. www. Mike
oh, triple
Miller,
W.
Yeah.
Okay.
MikeMillerDesigns.com, and then on the homepage, there's my email address.
Okay. Thank you so very much, Mike, and you have a nice day.
Yes. Thank you. So it'll be interesting. I have, you know, had somebody that sent me a picture of plant material, and I don't know if I got the answer right or not. She never did respond back, so it was like, it was just a picture of, in the fall, it was covered with berries and had great fall color. And I thought it was a beauty berry, but I'm not sure if it was. Let's head over to Wes's yard. Hi, Wes.
Hi. I was just wondering, when is the best time to start cabbage and broccoli bedding plants indoors? You might talk about some... Friends I talk to have trouble with their bedding plants stretching, and you might talk about putting light really close to the, you know, to the tree.
So you're talking about light where they're growing them from seed inside and they're elongating?
That's correct.
Okay, so for grow lights, if you're going to do it, you need to get some bottom heat. So there's bottom heat mats that you can put underneath the flats or the pots that you're going to grow the seeds in. And the grow light should only be more, basically about 4 inches above the top of the pot or flat that you're growing them in. So the bottom heat, potting mix for starting plant material, and then just 4 inches above for the grow lights.
And how about timing? Is not right now a good time, or wait a little bit?
I would probably wait, because they can, you know, even with, you know, good, really very good, let's say top of the lines. I've used to grow stuff with grow lights. I have fluorescent tubes, but I've, you know, taken a break from doing that because I did it so many years in a row. And so consequently, I would say maybe closer towards, well, it depends upon the type of plant that you're trying to grow. But you said cabbage and cool season vegetables?
Correct.
Yeah. So I would say maybe wait towards the end of the month and do it at that time.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. My pleasure. And let's head over to Kyle's. Hi, Kyle.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Very good. How are you?
Good, good. Hey, we had a pin oak in our front yard, and it had gall on it. So we had it cut down, and then we had the stump ground up about 2 weeks ago. I was wondering, what do I need to do with that pile of stump? Do I need to dig that out or just let it set for a while? Because we want to try to grow grass there.
Well, to be honest with you, you're going to have a very difficult time for a couple of years. Even if you get rid of all the stump grindings, which were left by the tree service and everything else, because there's still viable root systems, and the wood, you know, pieces that you're going to get as many as you possibly can, there's still going to be a lot in there, and it's going to really make it difficult to grow any kind of lawn. And
okay, gotcha.
You just can't.
Will that stump just settle the wood that they chipped up? Is that what will happen?
No, well, it would take a long time. So in other words, with the process of like St. Louis Composting making mulch, they rotate the product, you know, that they're making into mulch from, you know, stump grindings and things like you're talking about. But just to have a pile of it laying there, it's going to take forever for it to finally melt down.
Okay. Okay. Maybe I'll just start bagging that up and trying to get rid of it.
And then just be, you know, be patient, because it's going to be a couple of years before you're going to have any success with any kind of lawn.
Okay. All right, Mike. Well, I appreciate it. Thank
sure.
you very much.
Yeah, a lot of people, you know, get some decorative pots or something like that and just set those in that location. And,
okay.
I mean, you could get some, you know, annual rye or something like that and just, you know, throw some seed out on a routine basis and just kind of, and just use that to let you know when you're going to have success with, you know, growing from seed.
Yeah,
and
we needed to cut the tree down. It was such a nice tree, the pin oak, but then had that gall. So
yeah, those galls are really a hassle.
Yeah.
And so even if from, you know, buying sod won't be able to survive there either.
Okay. All right, Mike. Well, thank you. You have a great day.
You do the same thing.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Yep. Let's head over to Bill's yard now. Hi, Bill.
Good day.
Yes, go ahead.
I got a question. We got an ornamental peach in about a 12-inch pot. They told us, whoever, my daughter got it in the South, in Arkansas. They said we should, we brought it in. So is there anything extra we ought to do? Should we fertilize it or leave it alone and put it back out in the pot?
Yeah, definitely don't fertilize it. Now, did you leave it in your garage in front of a window, or you have it in your house?
It's in the house.
Ooh, that might be detrimental to it. So just kind of keep your fingers crossed. Did the foliage stay on it?
Yeah, it's in good shape.
Okay, well, good luck with that. So, yeah, just leave it inside until probably mid-March, and don't fertilize it right at first. Wait till the days get a little bit longer. And when you fertilize, use a fertilizer for fruit trees, and then also only do half the label rate.
All right, and then I hope my buckeye was budding out, so I'm hoping it's going to make it, but I don't know.
Yeah, that's a little bit tough. When it gets this cold, if it wasn't getting quite this extreme, like what's going to happen tonight, it should be okay, but that could be detrimental.
Okay, thank you.
Sure, my pleasure. And let's go now over to Sue's yard. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Mike. I have two tip of the troughs. One is for Ameren, because our electric went off about 5:30 and came back on about 1:30 this morning. And they worked out in this terrible cold.
Ooh.
Yep. And was I ever grateful?
Yes.
And then the other tip of the trowel is to good neighbors. Wait a minute. I get emotional once in a while. This good neighbor came over and got me and took me home with him to his heated home.
Wow.
And
great.
I spent a comfortable night there.
Well, perfect.
So
I'm glad.
I'm very thankful. Now, I have a couple of questions. The dogwood, buds, and serviceberry. What do you think this heat or cold is going to do to them?
Nothing. They should be
nothing?
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, that would be great.
Yes.
Okay, the other thing is I do a deck planting in pots, and I plant all my elephant ears, not the big ones, it's the more colored ones and unusual ones.
Right.
I bring the whole pot in. I've got about 3 pots of elephant ears in a back room that gets a lot of sun. And they kind of gradually, the foliage kind of dies over.
Right.
Over the winter, but they came back nice this past summer.
Sure.
You think that's okay?
Yeah, you should be fine.
Okay.
All right, good luck, Sue.
Thank you. Yep. Bye.
And welcome into the warmth. And 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back after these messages.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Yes, folks, we got phone lines open, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Let's head over to Roger's yard. Hi, Roger.
Hey, how you doing?
Very good.
Cold weather weeds. I realize it's too late for pre-emergent. Is there a way to get rid of them in this cold weather?
Not too much, because the herbicides are going to be ineffective because of the cold. So
yeah,
you just,
I realize that.
Yeah, you just waste your time.
Would, vinegar will kill the green foliage. Would that be worth trying?
Yeah, I mean, if the foliage is dead, a plant needs to have foliage to be able to survive. Because without foliage, it doesn't get any food. Because sunlight and nutrients, the sunlight is absorbed by the leaves. And if the leaves are gone, then it's going to be, tough for it to survive.
Okay, well, I'll do pre-emergent next year. One other quick question. If my mum's, the roots have gotten frozen, are they kaput, or can I still put them in the ground later?
So they're sitting out in pots?
Yeah, right now they are.
Take a look right at where the stem's coming up out of the potting mix. If you see little green leaflets right at the base, then I would give them a try and get them into the ground.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sure. My pleasure. And
bye.
See you, Roger. And let's go over to Carol's yard. Hi, Carol.
Hi. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Two questions. One of them is about an indoor plant, the Dieffenbachia, that I've had for years. Anyway, the past 2 winters, they get little shiny clear beads on them and some shiny spots on the leaves. The plant looks vigorous, but I'm not sure what those are. Is that some kind of an insect?
Yeah.
And I don't see any insects on them.
Yeah, it's probably scale. So
scale, what do I do about that?
Basically, just take a Q-tip, dip the Q-tip moisture in water or whatever, and just rub each individual one off.
Okay. And is the insect in that little bead?
Well, it is that. So
it is.
It's kind of like a turtle has a shell.
Oh, okay.
That's why a lot of times normal insecticides are ineffective, because it can't penetrate that shell.
Okay. Okay. And my other question is about a flower arrangement, a basket that we got for Christmas, and the annuals are pretty much done, but there's 2-3 they look like Norfolk pines together, and I put them in a pot and they look fine, but they're not hardy enough to go outside, are they?
No, they're not. They can go outside in the summertime and things like that, but for the wintertime they're not hardy.
So I could keep them inside over the winter and bring them out later?
Right. sometime, it's weather dependent, but usually around mid-April, you can move them out. And just watch out about putting them in direct sun after they've been in a house, because they could get sunburnt. And put them in a partial shade location, and then you can migrate them to a full sun location.
Okay, thank you.
Sure, my pleasure. And, well, let's go ahead and take a break, and then we'll talk to Chris and Grace when we come back from break.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Yes, folks, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Let's go over to Chris's house. Hi, Chris.
Good morning, Mike. How are you doing this morning?
Very good. How are you?
I am good. Just a couple quick ones. One is the first two are outside. I have some broccoli, cauliflower, and cabbage that I was attempting to grow for the winter, and just started getting heads on them a couple weeks ago. So it may be a little bit smaller than my fist, and I don't have a big hand. At least the cauliflower and broccoli are a little bit bigger than my fist. I don't have really any head on the cabbage, and I did not get any plastic over them before we got this freeze last night. Are they in danger of not making it any further? Should I go ahead and harvest and be happy that I got these little bitty pieces, or can I do something to save them?
No, it's probably too late anyway, and sometimes plastic is not the best thing to use. Landscape fabric would be better, because the plastic, when it's going to have an extended period, can be more damaging than good. But I don't think they're going to make it through this next couple days.
Okay. And the cabbage leaves, even though it didn't form a head, are those cabbage leaves still edible?
Well, you could dry it.
Hey, it definitely won't hurt me.
Right.
And then one quick question on the inside. I have some majestic palms, and one of them is not thriving at all. A majority of, I would say, 80% of the foliage has turned brown. Mm. Is there anything that I can do? Is that because of my lighting? I'm not, is the soil? I mean, is this one I got from the box store? Is there anything I can do to maybe bring that back around, or is it done too?
Once the, particularly on houseplants, once half the foliage is turned brown, it's pretty much destined for death.
Okay.
So there's not really too much you can do. Now, do you have a couple of these or just one?
A couple of them.
Okay. So this particular one has been overwatered more than likely. If the other the other ones look okay, so this one is, got over wet. Usually it's a root system circumstance.
Okay. Okay, well, I do appreciate it, and I hope you had a wonderful New Year, and I'm looking forward to continuing good information and one day getting you up here to this yard of mine.
Well, thanks. I'll look forward to it. Now, let's head over to Grace's yard. Hi, Grace.
Hi.
Hi.
I was wondering, I have a pretty good-sized tree in my front yard. I was wondering when the best time to trim it was. I had heard late winter was a good time to do it. Not sure if what you think about that.
What kind of tree is it?
It's a white ash, and it's probably about 20 years old, so it's pretty tall.
Yeah, late winter works out fine. Just ideally, you're going to do it before the leaves start emerging in the springtime. Now, if it was a maple tree, the maples want to be pruned during the winter for sure.
Okay, so probably maybe around late February?
Yeah. That should be fine.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Yep, my pleasure. And now let's go over to Linda's. Hi, Linda.
The gardener who had the shiny, sticky spots on the leaves, you were correct that it probably is scale, but rather than using a Q-tip or something, take it to the shower, give it a good rinse job. That's what Mother Nature would do. And that would take care of washing a lot of the scale off. And it would also deal very effectively with mealybugs. It's a lot easier to just wash it off than trying to deal with dabbing each spot with a Q-tip. And the problem is not the shiny spots. It's the probably dark spots that would be the scale.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's I didn't know how many she had, but yeah, using that, works out fine. What I want to make sure that the water temperature is not too cold.
Just make it so that it's, you might say, baby bottle warm or anyway, nice and comfy.
Right. Well, that sounds good. How long are you recommending us leaving it in the shower?
Oh, I would really recommend just doing it with a spray bottle rather than...
not having a shower
Then turning the shower itself on because you don't have as much control over it that way.
Right.
Well, and put a little speck of Dawn liquid into your spray bottle first, just a dilute solution. And then once you have given it a good spray with the Dawn solution, then rinse it off. And you might have to do that a couple of times, but it's very effective. That's what Mother Nature would do. When we bring our plants in, they don't get the treatment that she gives them when they're outside.
True.
And you might find some of the sticky on the furniture or floor directly beneath this plant.
Right.
That would be a real definite confirmation that it is scale.
Right.
But I think this treatment will work.
Okay, sounds great.
Thanks, Mike.
Sure, thanks, Linda. And now let's head over to Quinn's. Hi, Quinn.
Hi.
Hi.
We have this one-year-old Rose of Sharon, and it came from a seed, and we have five sprouts growing up from the ground, and it has about 20 clean cuts in it, and we don't know what it's from.
As far as...
at an angle.
What kind of cuts? Are you saying there's cuts on the twigs?
Yes, there's like cuts on the twigs in one big sprout, like has a clean cut that by an angle, and all of them are by an angle.
Hmm, that's a little tough because Rose of Sharon are pretty much a lot of insects don't impact them all that much. So I would say don't worry about it and just just kind of watch it in general.
Okay.
No fertilizer, and don't spray any kind of insecticide on it unless you actually see the insect. But Japanese beetles can make, angle cuts on barks and things like that. But the Rose of Sharon's really not prone to the Japanese beetle. That does not mean they can't go after it. But so just kind of keep an eye on it.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Quinn.
Welcome. See
you. And let's go to Joan's yard now. Hi, Joan.
Hi. Hi, Mike. I've got a hibiscus tree, two hibiscus trees that I brought in, and they were doing great. I snuck them out a couple times when the weather, hit like 50, 60, brought them back in. And one of them looks great. The other one, all the leaves are turning yellow, and not all of them, but a good portion of them, and I just don't want it to die, and I fertilized it. I'm just wondering, should I keep doing this? It's in the sun, in a bright sun every day. Just wondered if I'm going to make it with this tree.
Well, hibiscus really don't like it inside houses, but they can survive, but they're always going to lose leaves. That's going to happen, but... fertilizing, during a bad time when a plant doesn't look good is not the best thing to do. You're kind of just accelerating the downhill process.
Okay.
So just kind of...
And the leaves turning yellow, that's pretty normal, right?
Right. Even if they're really healthy, they're going to lose a good percentage of the leaves during the wintertime because the amount of light.
Right. But and I had now, a lot of...
Also, you don't have them where like a heat vent's going to blow down on them, do you?
Well, it's to the side. It's not blowing on top of it, but it is. How close can it be to a heat vent?
They should not be close.
At all, yeah.
Because that can be detrimental.
Okay. But I'm getting lots of new growth at the bottom. lots of beautiful green leaves coming up at the bottom. So, and then it's growing. The height is almost to the ceiling. It's so cool.
Wow. That's big.
I know.
So I guess you have to have a leaf rake inside because you're losing so many leaves.
No, I just want to see if I can keep this guy alive, you know.
Yeah, just watch out about overwatering and definitely don't do any fertilizing.
Okay, so overwatering is what?
You just want the potting mix to stay a little bit damp and then water it when the potting mix shrinks from the inside of the pot so you see a little bit of a gap there.
Yeah, okay, very good. Well, thanks so much, Mike. Appreciate your advice.
Yeah,
all
right,
pleasure. Have a good one. Take care.
Bye-bye. Yep. 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back after these messages.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Let's head over to Jill's yard and see what's going on. Hi, Jill.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hey, I've got a couple of questions.
Okay.
One is I have some large... well, they're not large, but a couple of year old rhododendron on the north side of my house. They seemed a little stressed out this summer. Every time it kind of got dry, their leaves curled, and I had to kind of keep on top of watering. And I'm just wondering about this cold weather. I have an idea to maybe just put like a big shopping bag, like the kind you get at IKEA, maybe upside down over the top. But I don't know if that's a good idea or not.
That wouldn't hurt, but you should have already had it on there.
For sure.
But it's already, rhododendrons have a tough time here anyway.
Do they?
Yeah. They don't really like St. Louis all that much, or this region.
I see. That explains why this is my third one to try to make grow in the front. Yeah. And then also my lack of remembering to care for them probably explains it too. So, so I have a second question, if you don't mind, about an indoor lemon plant that I have. It was looking very stressed. It was outside for the summer, but it was looking very stressed and I was thinking about pitching it. And then all of a sudden it's just got, I don't know, 30, 25 blooms on it. And I'm, you know, using the little brush and making sure it self-pollinates, if that's a thing. And I'm just wondering, I did fertilize it. I just heard you tell somebody maybe it's not a great idea to fertilize something at this point. But do you have any advice? It hardly has any leaves. It's mostly just the flowers. And I'm wondering, should I leave all of those, that's so many, and just if you have any advice.
Well, flowering is the most stressful time for any plant, whether they're healthy growing outside or, you know, what's happening inside.
Oh.
There's not too much you can do. I mean,
it's
just going to be, you know, survivability is going to be as lucky as anything. And it's like in front of a really sunny window or sunny.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So as long as it's getting that and there's no heat vent blowing on it, that's about as much as you can do.
Okay. And so you don't necessarily fertilize during the period where it's producing the fruit?
No. I mean, it's not going to really help. It's going to
actually
be detrimental. So fertilize when they're actively growing outside and get a fertilizer that is acid-loving type fertilizer, like Mirror Acid or something along that line.
Gotcha. Okay. And then do you think I should pick off about half of those so it's not weighed down with so much fruit? Should it survive this or just let her rip?
I would say leave it alone because the fruit is actually you see the fruit.
Yeah, some of the blooms that are already finished, you know how then you start to see the little ball there.
Right. Mm-hmm. As long as there are not so many that actually is causing the branch to bend, then I would say leave them alone.
Okay, that's great. That's my favorite kind of advice. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jill. And let's head over to Rick's yard. Hi, Rick.
Good morning. Hi, I'm calling in reference to the young lady who called a little while ago about observing plants that had been cut off at an angle.
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me. Just as an analogy, I was out patrolling the yard earlier this week, and I noticed my viburnum bush was gnawed significantly. I mean, every stem had gnaw marks. I said, well, that's got to be the squirrels because they'll gnaw on anything. But I've also noticed in the past that rabbits will shear off soft plants this time of year.
Right.
And don't discount the deer, because I didn't hear it mention how high up these cuts were, but I think the wildlife could be very responsible for a lot of what she was talking about.
Yeah, that could very well be the case. And, so, you know, but yeah, it's this time of year, wildlife, especially if we have an extended dry period, they're using certain things for moisture. But, you know, Rosa Sharon is, you know, a deciduous, so whatever this was, just, making these chew marks, it's kind of tough
right.
to say.
That's really all I had. Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks. I greatly appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye.
And that's about it for today. One thing, soon we're going to be buying cut flowers. And like for Valentine's Day or something like that, when you bring the cut flowers home from the store or nursery or florist or wherever you get them, recut the stem. And the best thing to do is recut it, you know, put it under, the faucet, and put the faucet or the water coming out of the faucet at a kind of warm, and cut it at a 45-degree angle. So in other words, and cut about 1 to 2 inches off if you're able to. So any kind of, you know, cut flowers that you get, it's always good to recut the bottom of the stem, and then that will go directly into a vase that you're going to keep the plant into. Another thing, too, just related to houseplants, don't do any kind of fertilizing on your houseplant unless it's doing some new growth or it's in flower. So no fertilizer till that happens and until the days get a little bit longer. And once your houseplants get pot-bound, so in other words, you start seeing pots or root systems coming out of the drainage holes in the bottom, you can move the plants to a container, but make it so the container that you're moving it up to is only 1 to 2 inches bigger than the current one. So when you pull it out of the existing pot, kind of shake the root system up or wiggle it with your fingers to try to get some of the existing potting mix off of it, and then plant it in a pot that, like I said, 1 to 2 inches larger. And use a potting mix. Don't use potting soil at all. And growing factors, light, temperature, nutrients, moisture, and humidity. So just keep that in mind. Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline. Thanks to the team of producers.
Thanks so much, Mike. Appreciate
sure.
your advice.
Yeah, my
right.
pleasure.
Have a good one. Take care. Bye-bye.
Yep. 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back after these messages.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Let's head over to Jill's yard and see what's going on. Hi, Jill.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hey, I've got a couple of questions.
Okay.
One is I have some large a couple of year old rhododendron on the north side of my house. They seemed a little stressed out this summer. It kind of got dry, their leaves curled, and I had to kind of keep on top of watering. And I'm just wondering about this cold weather. I have an idea to maybe just put like a big shopping bag, like the kind you get at IKEA, maybe upside down over the top. But I don't know if that's a good idea or not.
That wouldn't hurt, but you should have already had it on there.
For sure.
But it's yep. already, rhododendrons have a tough time here anyway.
Do they?
Yeah. They don't really like St. Louis all that much, or this region.
I see. That explains why this is my third one to try right. to make grow in the front. Yeah. And then also my lack of remembering to care for them probably explains it too. So, so I have a second question, if you don't mind,
no.
about an indoor lemon plant that I have. It was looking very stressed. It was outside for the summer, but it was looking very stressed and I was thinking about pitching it. And then all of a sudden it's just got, I don't know, 30, 25 blooms on it. And I'm, using the little brush and making sure it self-pollinates, if that's a thing.
And I'm just wondering, I did fertilize it. I just heard you tell somebody maybe it's not a great idea to fertilize something at this point. But
right.
Do you have any advice? It hardly has any leaves. It's mostly just the flowers. And I'm wondering, should I leave all of those, like that's so many, and just if you have any advice.
Well, flowering is the most stressful time for any plant, whether they're healthy growing outside or, you know, what's happening inside.
Oh.
There's not too much you can do. I mean, it's just going to be, you know, survivability is going to be as lucky as anything. And it's like in front of a really sunny window or sunny.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So as long as it's getting that and there's no heat vent blowing on it, that's about as much as you can do.
Okay. And so you don't necessarily fertilize during the period where it's producing the fruit?
No. I mean, it's not going to really help. It's going to actually be detrimental. So fertilize when they're actively growing outside and get a fertilizer that is acid-loving type fertilizer, like muriatic acid or something along that line.
Gotcha. Okay. And then do you think I should pick off about half of those so it's not weighed down with so much fruit? Should it survive this or just let her rip?
I would say leave it alone because you see the fruit.
Yeah, some of the blooms that are already finished, you know how, like, then you start to see the little ball there.
Right. Mm-hmm. As long as there are not so many that actually is causing the branch to bend, then I would say leave them alone.
Okay, that's great. That's my favorite kind of advice. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jill. And let's head over to Rick's yard. Hi, Rick.
Good morning. Hi. I'm calling in reference to the young lady who called a little while ago about observing plants that had been cut off at an angle.
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me. Just as an analogy, I was out patrolling the yard earlier this week, and I noticed my viburnum bush was gnawed significantly. I mean, every stem had gnawed marks. I said, well, that's got to be the squirrels, because they'll gnaw on anything. But I've also noticed in the past that rabbits will shear off soft plants this time of year.
Right.
And don't discount the deer, because I didn't hear it mentioned how high up these cuts were. But I think the wildlife could be very responsible for a lot of what she was talking about.
Yeah, that could very well be the case. And, this time of year, wildlife, especially if we have an extended dry period, they're using certain things for moisture. But, Rosa Sharon is, a deciduous. So whatever this was, just, making these chew marks, it's kind of tough to say.
That's really all I had. Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks. I greatly appreciate
it. You're welcome. Bye.
And that's about it for today. One thing, soon we're going to be buying cut flowers. And like for Valentine's Day or something like that, when you bring the cut flowers home from the store or nursery or florist or wherever you get them, recut the stem. And the best thing to do is recut it, put it under the faucet and put the faucet or the water coming out of the faucet at a kind of warm and cut it at a 45 degree angle. So in other words, cut about 1 to 2 inches off if you're able to. So any kind of cut flowers that you get, it's always good to recut the bottom of the stem, and then that will go directly into a vase that you're going to keep the plant into. Another thing, too, just related to houseplants, don't do any kind of fertilizing on your houseplant unless it's doing some new growth or it's in flower. So no fertilizer till that happens and until the days get a little bit longer. And once your houseplants get pot-bound, so in other words, you start seeing pots or root systems coming out of the drainage holes in the bottom, you can move the plants to a container, but make it so the container that you're moving it up to is only 1 to 2 inches bigger than the current one. So when you pull it out of the existing pot, kind of shake the root system up or wiggle it with your fingers to try to get some of the existing potting mix off of it, and then plant it in a pot that, like I said, 1 to 2 inches larger. and use a potting mix. Don't use potting soil at all. And growing factors, light, temperature, nutrients, moisture, and humidity. So just keep that in mind. Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline. Thanks to the team of producers.